You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Centre. For more information, visit www.lmc.org.au.
Morning, everyone. Wampalamani bin toklong me by mikamna, yadim toklong yupala. Naomi ting by mino ting 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 mas by mistob where? Papua New Guinea or Australia? It's Australia, Laga. It's Australia? Okay, so I speak in English. Nick came and saw me at the start of the, before the service started. She said, "Thanks for preaching. You've taken my place." So I'm sorry, I'm not as pretty as Nick. But I've got the word of God for you. And I hope that we'll have a bit of an impact here today. I'm not going to speak about our work too much in Papua New Guinea. I'll just weave it in a little bit as we go. And just to say that we've had a great year. We graduated 16 students from the Bible College. It's the third year of our Bible College. And we have 20 men and women in the rehabilitation centre. So all in all, quite a few people are being impacted. And that can't happen unless we have some support, and thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayer support. Thank you for your financial support. And we know that without that, we couldn't do anything at all. But during the year, something has really impacted me that it's common to Papua New Guinea. It's common to Australia. And so I felt for quite a long time that this is the word I would like to bring, so long as Graham gave me an opportunity. So here we are. Let's have a look at Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Now, when we came we came back for our leave on the 9th of December, and on the 11th we had the graduation of Oxley College. And goodness me, Graham Nelson gets up and starts speaking and he uses this scripture. And I thought, yeah, perhaps we're on the same wavelength. He was explaining that Oxley College is different. It's not aimed to be anything but a glory to God. And the only way we can do that is to not be the same as what the world presents. So this scripture is a very powerful scripture. Let's just read it here. "Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God." The only way to not conform to this world is to change our way of thinking. If we think the same way that the world thinks, we will act the same way that the world acts. If we allow God to change our way of thinking, then we won't conform to the world. And by not conforming to the world, what do we gain? Well, we gain so much. We prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So often people come to me and they say, I want to know the will of God for my life. Okay, well, if you let him change your thinking, or are you still thinking the way the world thinks? Are you thinking of building up a big bank account? Are you thinking of a career? Are you thinking of getting a name so that people will put you up in lights, either by your sport or your musical talents or your good looks or whatever it is? Is that the way you're thinking? See, that's the way the world thinks. The world is this me first. It's amazing. Yeah, it would do everyone good to just go away for a year. Go to a country like Papua New Guinea and come back and have a look. And it becomes so clear. See, I'm concerned that so often we're like that frog in the water. Now, you know that story where you put a frog in cold water and then you just slowly heat it. The frog won't jump out until it's too late. My concern as we come back from Papua New Guinea and see the stark differences that the world just is there, we're in the pot and it's warming up. Me first, advertising. You know what really gets up my nose is fashion. There must be some little man in some little castle somewhere and says, this year it's blue. So everybody who's got red or green or white or whatever, blue, get rid of that, let's try it out, we've got to get blue. This year the skirts are long. No, the skirts are short. This year the shoes are pointed. No, they're square. No, they're... Who tells us that? Is there some little committee that goes along and decides that? And yet we get hooked. I'll bet you feel uncomfortable if you think your clothes are not quite up with it. Store up riches. You don't know what's coming. You know, how many years ago was it? GFC. Now, that doesn't stand for the Geelong Football Club. But be careful, because GFC might come this year. But how many people are so paranoid? GFC, global financial crisis. It's building up again in Italy. It's building up again in Greece. Man, Europe is going down the tubes. America's not much better. We can't get anything done through our parliament. We're worried. That's the world's way of thinking. See, my Bible tells me that God will provide. When I read the Bible, I see that Elijah ran away into the desert and God provided him food. My Bible tells me that God brought the Israelites out of Egypt and provided them with food in the desert and water in the desert, and their clothes didn't wear out. What, has God changed his way of working? Has God changed his thoughts? No, same God. It's us. We think we've got to have this. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying don't provide for the future. I'm not saying don't get an education or a career. What I'm saying is don't put your trust in it. That's what the world does. So if you don't get a certain career, so what? You'll get another one. One day in Papua New Guinea, Beryl and myself were sitting down at the table, and I said to Beryl, "Sorry, love, there's no money in the account, that's it." And we looked at each other and grinned, and we said, "What's God up to now?" Our account was zip. What's God up to now? That day, the bishop we were working with went into town. A lady gave him an envelope, said, "Give this to David and Beryl." He brought the envelope back. In it was 800 kina. Now that is, in Papua New Guinea terms, that's a fortune. 800 kina. That's what God was up to. And we said to the bishop, who gave you that? He told us we didn't know that person. We had no clue who it was. But God provided. And he always does. See, the world has it in mind that we are able to do this. We are able to solve all the problems. We are able to... Yeah, right. You hear about Syria, you hear about Iraq, you hear about Afghanistan, you hear about this, that and the other thing. We are able? No, we're not. That's the way the world thinks. Man is sufficient. No, he's not. We can't do anything without God. We cannot if we don't have him, if we don't trust in him. If we start putting our trust where the world puts its trust, we are conforming to the way of the world. And I want everyone here today to be honest. Be honest with yourself. Don't say, yes, yes, I do that, I do that. We don't. It is so clear when Beryl and myself come back from Papua New Guinea, it is so clear that the world keeps infiltrating. See, are we frightened to stand up in this pulpit and say, listen, tolerance can go so far, but tolerance does not mean that I'm going to accept the opinion of every Tom, Dick and Harry, and I'm going to say, oh yeah, all religions are the same, they all go to the same place, they all... No, the Bible says there's one way to God, and that's Jesus. And are we frightened to tell people that? Are we scared that if we say, look, you're on the wrong track, mate. You go to your yoga classes, you go to your Buddhism, you go to this, you go to that. That won't get you to God. There's only one way. And that way is Jesus. Now, I'm not intolerant of people having other ideas. They're free to have other ideas. But they're wrong. I don't want people to be happily going to hell. I want people to be confronted with the claims that Jesus has made. And Jesus has said there's only one way. You won't get eternal life without putting your faith and your trust in Jesus. And the world pooh-hoos that. You're not tolerant. No, tolerance doesn't mean accepting every little thing that comes along, every new idea, every new age nonsense that goes around. Tolerance means that I will accept that you have a different way of thinking, but you've got to accept that I've got a different way of thinking. Now let me tell you why I think the way I do. Let me tell you where my belief is. So you look at me and say, yeah, you're okay, you go off to Papua New Guinea. No, face the same thing. In Papua New Guinea, it's not the type of religion and that you have, it's what custom you have. You see, we have students who have to pay fees. And so many of our students can't find the money to pay fees. And I say, nonsense. No, we can't. We're from, you know, a village and we go there. So they go home for a village. They release somebody. This happened this year, last year. They released somebody for ministry somewhere, so they had a feast. And they killed 40 pigs. One pig is worth 1,500 kina. 40 pigs. There's your money for fees. You see, it's the way of thinking. Oh, we can't let people go without killing a pig. Why not? You're cutting his legs off? What are you doing to him? Oh, no. It's our custom. You see, it infiltrates everywhere, the way the world thinks. And we have to battle this wherever we are. What does the world think? Tolerance? Oh, yeah, truth is just what's good for you. If it works for you, you do it. I'm sorry. If I find somebody contemplating same-sex marriage, I'll tell them. Sorry, the Bible condemns that. It's not... Homosexuality is not on. Oh, you intolerant coot. Because there's got to be a truth somewhere. Does our worldview, do you believe that the Bible gives us the truth in which to live by? Do you really believe that or not? Yeah. Well, it's time the church started standing up and saying, but Dave, if you say that, you might go to jail. Okay. I read of plenty of guys who were prepared to go to jail because they stood up for what was right. They weren't prepared to let the world influence their thinking. You've got to obey the emperor. Yes, you do. You've got to obey the laws of the government. Yes, you do. But when the emperor and the government goes outside of their authority, then you don't obey them. And the government has no authority to pass same-sex marriage laws. That is against God's law. That is against what God wants. I was appalled when the Whitlam government, you know, we hear so much about that because Gough Whitlam died last year, when he made divorce so easy. So easy. So we reap the benefits. Sex before marriage. You tolerant of that? If you are, you're thinking the way the world thinks. I could go on, I could go on, I could go on. But Scripture tells me, as I've had it up there all the time, don't be conformed to this world if you really want to know the will of God. Let your thinking change. Now, how do we do that? Well, let's leave that for a moment. I want to go somewhere else first and then come back. Can we have the next slide up there, John O, please? And it's Matthew 7. Matthew 7, verse 21. Now, when I first started looking into this scripture, it really hit me between the eyes. I've been going to church for many times. I love to worship. I love to lift my hands and worship God. I really like that. And then I read this scripture. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. You can be sitting in here this morning. You're a worshipper. You acknowledge Jesus. You call him Lord, Lord. But if you're not doing what God wants you to do, then you've got to forget about going to heaven. It's tough. It really is. Not everybody who calls me Lord, Lord. So if you're sitting here and you're in a relationship, you're living with somebody and you're not married, you're not doing the will of the Father. If you're a young person and you're dating and you're fooling around in a sexual way, you're not doing the will of the Father. You're calling him Lord, Lord, but you're not doing the will of the Father. Not everybody who calls me Lord, Lord. You ready to ask me to go back to Papua New Guinea yet? Or? I want to go to Deuteronomy because God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. Great miracles, wonders, marvellous stuff. And within a few days, they're grumbling and moaning and so on. So God had chosen Moses, and he's given Moses the laws, and he's given him the direction. And so now they're getting ready. You know, they've been wandering around for 40 years because of their rebellion and so on. See, not everybody who calls me Lord, Lord will get into the kingdom of heaven. They were calling him their Lord. They'd come out of Egypt, but they weren't going into the promised land because they wouldn't do his will. And then Moses gives these final instructions in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 46 and 47. He said to them, "Set your hearts on all the words which I testify among you today, which you shall command your children to carefully to observe, all the words of this law. For it's not a futile thing for you, because it's your life. And by this word you shall prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to possess." Obey all the words of this law. What a privilege we have to have the word of God, to have the guidance that God gives us, to have his thoughts, to have his ways, to have the plans that he has. So how do we think? There are so many things which the Bible says, come on, get your priorities right. Get your thinking changed. Get it in line with this word. And it boils down, I feel it boils down to this. What sort of thoughts, what sort of attitude do I have? What sort of attitude do you have? That God always has your best interests at heart? Or is he just a killjoy? He just doesn't want us to have so much that this world offers. Well, when I see the temptation of Jesus, he was offered all the riches. He said, no. He was offered great power. He said, no. Why? Because man won't live by those sort of things. Man will live by the word of God. If we want to prolong our days, if we want to have satisfaction, if we want to have so much, we'll start getting here. Now, let's just look at just one portion of this law that God has given to us. Now, I've said the law that Moses is talking about is all of this. If you study there, you'll find that is so. But let's just look at the famous Ten Commandments. So let's go to Exodus chapter 20. I'm just going to take the first few verses. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 to 5. And it says, "God spoke all these words, saying, 'I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And you shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God." I won't go for the rest of it. God brought Israel out of Egypt. God brought me out of a life of bondage and sin. God set me free. Did he do it for you? Did he bring you out where your life, where my life was just not really my own? I thought it was. But no, I was a slave to sin. And God brought me out of that. And they say, now, because I've brought you out of that, You just to have one God. Before you had plenty. Man, sport was my God. Physical stuff, my God. So, don't have any other gods before me. That means something that takes the place of God. If God is who he says he is, we can trust him. But do we really? Or, as I've been saying, do we put our trust in riches? Do we put our trust in education, in careers, and so on? See, so many people get shattered when they lose their job. I was a pastor here many years ago now, and the senior pastor of the time, Ian Richardson, came to me and said, David, we're going through a bit of a financial difficulty here. We can't really afford to have you as a pastor anymore. So, okay. So I went away, prayed about it, came back to Ian and said, I think God still wants me to be a pastor here. He said, well, we can't afford you. I said, no, no. God wants me to be a pastor here. Forget about the money. Oh, okay. And you know, for 2 years, I don't think I've told this story in the church before, but for 2 years, Bera and myself were living by faith. Did we want? No. Did we go without? No. God provided. People you would never think of would come up. I can't afford much, but here's $5. One ex-student said, God put it on my heart to give you a regular contribution. I said, you put your tithes. No, 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 over and above my tithes. You see, if our trust is in God, God will provide. If our trust is somewhere else and that goes, then we're shattered. We don't know what to do. We get so worried and so concerned. But if we think in terms, there won't be any other God, we're okay. God is who he says he is. He does what he says he'll do. And we can trust. And we can live, and we can be so, so fulfilled in all of that. You won't bow down to any other gods. First service back from New Guinea, Graham's standing up here and he's talking about the dangers of Facebook. And he's saying how, man, Facebook is a mixed blessing. We can use it for God's work. We can use it for his glory. And you know how Marita uses that sort of stuff and all that goes with it. And you know, it's just great. But I want to know, how much time do you spend on Facebook as against how much time you use reading your Bible? Where is your thinking? How much time do you spend talking on your mobile and texting and so on as against prayer? How many luxuries do you indulge in week by week by week as against giving? Now, I knew as I was preparing this service I wasn't going to win the popularity stakes. But that's not what God's about. See, God doesn't want popularity stakes. He wants honest, honest people who will say, yes, this is how I should live if I really call myself a follower of Jesus. You can't follow Jesus and think the way the world thinks. It doesn't work. Let's not be conformed to this world. that renew our thinking. Are you prepared to let that happen? I'm challenging you. Today, how about taking stock of Facebook versus Bible reading? How about taking stock of mobile texting and all that email stuff against prayer? To take stock against luxuries and your giving. And I'm not talking about tithing. I mean, if we don't tithe, we're not even on the first plank. I'm talking about giving. Let me just finish by some short scriptures. I want to go to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Set your mind. Let your thinking be there. James 4, verse 4. Oh, I better get the right place here. James 4, verse 4. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Not just adultery, but everything that this world is offering. If we're a friend of that, sorry, Scripture tells us we're an enemy of God. It doesn't mean that we don't use the things. It doesn't mean that we're not in the world and we go and, you know, sit on top of a tree in the mountains. What it means is that that's not our priority. It doesn't influence us. We think differently. And 1 John chapter 2, verse 14. I've written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I've written to you, young men, because you are strong. And the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. That's the only way. Having the word of God abiding in us, then we can overcome the world. We can overcome what the enemy would want us to do. Now, Andy, how'd we go with that song? No? Okay. Could I have the worship team? And we'll sing that second song that you sung today. Can you remember what it is? I was just blown away with the songs we sung today. They just seem to fit in so well. Yeah? Let all others fade away. Let Jesus come. Ah, I was sitting there thinking, yeah, that's it. Now, what was that second song we sang? Desert Song. That's it. Now, I want us to have that ready. Could we have the hospitality team issue the communion, please? Now, as we're receiving the communion today, I want us to think. Think about this word that I've bought. I really believe it's something God put on my heart. But just think about this. Philippians chapter 2, I haven't got it on the overheads, but this is what it says. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Thank you very much. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Well, what was Jesus doing and thinking? Who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. You see, that was God's thinking. Here's mankind in need. I will lose my place in heaven. I will come down and dwell amongst them. I know I'm going to die on that cross. I know I'm going to suffer as a man. A horrible, horrible death. But that's the will of God, because there's no other way to save mankind. Have we got the same thinking? And you know what happens after that? Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. Are you and I prepared to take our place in seeing that come, that every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord? Please hold your communion elements. Think about the sacrifice that they represent, and let's sing this song, please.